Hey everybody, Rob Maurer here, and today we're going to be talking a little bit about Tesla stock, Tesla's approach with their sensor suite, Plaid delivery timelines, we've got Wells Fargo picking up coverage of Tesla stock, some news on charging and batteries. Nice start to the week for Tesla stock today after a relatively quiet news weekend, finishing up 4.4% to $606.44. That compared to the NASDAQ up 1.4%. Tesla did tail off a little bit towards the end of the day though, falling about 1% in the last half an hour. Well, as luck would have it, Elon was tweeting about Bitcoin and Doge in the last half an hour. About 18 minutes before market close, he tweeted, quote, "Spoke with North American Bitcoin miners. They committed to publish current and planned renewable usage and to ask miners worldwide to do so. Potentially promising," end quote. A couple minutes after that, he switched over to Doge, saying, quote, "If you'd like to help develop Doge, please submit ideas on GitHub and Reddit," end quote. So inevitably, you see that, and you see, oh great, Elon's tanking the stock again, talking about cryptocurrency. Someone already tagged me on Twitter suggesting this. And if you're just casually looking at the stock, yes, it absolutely looks that way, but again, it is not that simple. If we pull up the minute-by-minute chart here, Elon tweeted again 18 minutes before close. Tesla was at about $610 per share at that point in time. It had already dropped from $614 before Elon even tweeted that. If we flip over to the NASDAQ, you can hardly tell a difference there in the last half an hour with how those look. The NASDAQ trails off there as well and continued to fall in the last 18 minutes, just like Tesla did. In fact, Tesla actually dropped more in the 10 minutes before Elon's tweet, actually more than two times as much of a drop there as it did in the 10 minutes after Elon's tweet about cryptocurrency, even though the NASDAQ performed worse in that second block of 10 minutes after Elon's tweet. So just like before, yes, tempting to throw that in as the narrative, you see the stock falling right when Elon tweets, but it's just not that simple, and this instance is definitely not evidence of that being the case. So just wanted to share my thoughts on that and get ahead of that narrative. Quick reminder while we're on the markets, the NASDAQ will be closed next Monday, May 31st, for Memorial Day. All right, next up here, I want to spend a couple minutes discussing Tesla's autonomy sensor suite. Starting off with radar, of course, we've heard Elon talk about how Tesla intends to remove radar in its entirety. Well, it looks like we may have some action there. Tesla over the weekend adjusted their website and they have removed any reference of radar on the Model 3 and Model Y order pages. In the autopilot section of those pages, Tesla now lists 250 meters of quote, powerful visual processing, end quote, in the section that used to list radar. So if we look at the Wayback Machine, this is just from Friday, you can see that the order page there said 160 meters forward-facing radar, providing a long-range view of distant objects. So with that reference removed, maybe Tesla has now already made the decision to actually start removing the radar hardware from new production of Model 3 and Model Y. Remember, we did see Elon tweet about a week and a half ago that they were focusing on removing radar, and that release was going out to US production next week. Green the Only on Twitter, who often digs into the details, to put it mildly, of firmware releases, said last Friday that none of the current releases had removed radar, but new modes were added that could operate without. So we don't know for sure if Tesla's already removing the hardware, but clearly things are headed in that direction. Interestingly enough, I am still seeing a reference to radar on the Model S and X order pages. I don't know if that's different for other people, but I am still seeing that 160 meters forward-facing radar there. And Tesla does actually still make reference to radar on the actual Tesla Autopilot page at tesla.com/autopilot. Now obviously, probably just takes some time to update those things, but I think that's been a pretty big open question on the Model S and X refresh too, if those vehicles have radar or not, because it seemed like the decision to move radar kind of came after the Model S and X refresh, but sometimes these timelines aren't exactly clear from the outside. Okay, so jumping in here, this is actually after I recorded the episode, I'm coming back here. Tesla has now actually just updated the Model S and the Model X pages. All reference that I can see now to radar has been removed. They've also even updated the autopilot page again here as I was recording. They've got a nice new graphic up there, and any text reference to radar has been entirely removed from that page as well. So I guess we've got our answer there. Sorry for the weirdness in flow here, and this will be the end of the interjection. Now the rest of the episode. At any rate, if and when Tesla does end up removing the radar hardware, my guess is it's probably going to save them a couple $100 a vehicle. Across a couple $100,000 vehicles per quarter, that ends up being a savings of potentially about $40 million every single quarter. And obviously those savings would only increase as vehicle production grows. From a software perspective, the other benefit that Tesla could end up seeing is a reduction or elimination of phantom braking. Radar is primarily responsible for those instances. Elon has said that should be resolved when Tesla goes to vision only. Next thing here on the sensor suite, I don't know why this has been getting so much attention over the last few days, but there was a Tesla spotted testing with a LiDAR mounted on it last Thursday. These stories seem to pop up every single year. Bloomberg this morning wrote a story about it. There's nothing new here. Again, Tesla's been doing this for years. You can see here is basically the same article from TechCrunch back in 2016. As has always been the case, Tesla, again here, likely just using these for testing and validation purposes. That's really all we need to know about it. Next up here, we've got a bit of an update on refreshed Model S and X delivery timelines, specifically on the Plaid Model S. Tesla is listing estimated delivery for new orders as June for the Plaid Model S. Now, of course, we heard previously that there is a delivery event scheduled for June 3rd for the first deliveries of these refreshed S's, but I would think this would have to be a positive in terms of the outlook for production if Tesla still thinks they can deliver some new orders within the next 5 to 6 weeks. Now, of course, it's a loose timeline. There's not really any penalty if Tesla can't hit that, but certainly looks better for production than if we flip over to, for example, the Model X, which is now saying January to February for both the long range and Plaid Model X new orders. The Plaid Model S also has to compete with the Plaid Plus. This is probably one of the reasons Tesla's grayed that out as an ordering option right now. I'd still have to guess Tesla's probably got a few thousand Plaid orders, so at this point, being so early in production, I still think it's better news for production. But longer term, I don't think there's going to be a ton of demand for the Plaid, unless Tesla ups the price on the Plaid Plus, which again, I think is a possibility. Plaid Model X doesn't share those same concerns because there is no Plaid Plus right now for the Model X, though I certainly hope there will be one someday. All right, next up here, we've got new analyst coverage of Tesla stock. This is from Wells Fargo. They have initiated coverage on Tesla, and it is from analyst Colin Langan, which may actually sound familiar because he has covered Tesla before for UBS. So according to LinkedIn, it looks like he started at Wells Fargo in November of 2020. So yes, initiating new coverage here, but at the same time, not really so much. So Langan at UBS covered Tesla for a few years. He was never super positive on the stock. I think the last price target I could find from him here was back around June 2019. They had lowered their price target from $200 to $160 at that time. Remember, this is pre-split, so that actually post-split means his price target then was $32 per share. So yeah, super low, but Langan was also not alone being in that price target range. A lot of analysts were around that level. Anyway, he's now at Wells Fargo. They have initiated coverage, starting out with a $590 price target and an equal weight rating on the stock. Langan believes that is pricing in 12 million vehicles sold in 10 years. Obviously, that depends on your margin outlook. As I've demonstrated in the past, I don't think Tesla would need anywhere near that to actually justify the valuation they've got today. But as for more near-term items, Langan said that he is concerned that once Model 3 and Model Y production capacity comes fully online next year, that expanded capacity will be so great that there will just not be enough demand for maybe 1.7 million Model 3 and Model Y vehicles. So fair enough, I guess, especially depending on what happens with the macro environment. Personally, I think once this happens for Tesla, if they get that capacity up and running, they're going to have a lot of ability to bring their prices down. So I think Tesla's going to have quite a lot of room on one of the strongest demand levers there is, which is pricing. And certainly there are other options available, such as advertising. So personally, I'm not too concerned about that. I think Tesla's really shown the strength in the underlying demand of their vehicles last year through the pandemic. This year, demonstrating strong demand through seasonal headwinds combined with a potentially looming electric vehicle tax credit in the United States, which theoretically should suppress demand as people potentially wait for that to happen. And yet Tesla says demand is the strongest it's ever been. So I'm feeling good about demand. But yeah, if Tesla can actually get this capacity online as fast as they want to, it's definitely an item to watch. And then Langan is also concerned about rising material costs. Of course, we've talked about that as we've talked about Tesla's methodical price increases here in the second quarter. But he estimates that when Tesla actually needs to renegotiate contracts for materials, that could add nearly $1,400 to the price of each vehicle. At least MarketWatch here says price. I don't know if he's referring to cost or price. So maybe that's a decent reference point for how big of a cost increase we could be seeing here from materials. But I'm also not going to put a ton of weight in the analysis here because of a UBS cost breakdown on the Model 3 that happened. That, with the benefit of hindsight, looked like it was pretty inaccurate. So maybe that doesn't fall on Langan, who knows. But those were the main points. And then, of course, expressing concerns around China, competition in general, autopilot, regulatory risk, fairly standard items there. All right, next up here, we've got a couple of charging-related news items. First here is Drive Tesla Canada reporting that Frito-Lay, which, as we know, has ordered a lot of Tesla semis, is in the process of getting a Tesla mega charger installed as a part of expansion plans on one of their facilities in Modesto, California. They also report that a megapack will be included in the installation. That's about all the information we have at this point in time on that, but hopefully some more will come out as that project progresses. Next here is a report from Electrek on a court case in Norway involving 30 owners of Model S and X vehicles manufactured in 2016 or earlier with 85 kilowatt hour packs that the owners claim were limited in terms of their charging capabilities as well as their range. So this is actually not the first time we've talked about this story. This first popped up back in 2019. When Electrek had first reported on this, Tesla at the time had told them that the update that caused this was to, quote, protect the battery and improve battery longevity, and that it was only for a, quote, small percentage of owners, end quote. But this is the first that I've heard about it in a while, so it looks like Tesla is being held liable for $16,000 each for these 30 owners, Obviously an insignificant amount there for Tesla, about $500,000. But interestingly, Tesla didn't actually respond to the lawsuit, so they may end up appealing this case. And it sounds like there are other ongoing lawsuits around this issue, so probably not the last that we'll hear about it. Next up here, as expected, being that it is May 24th today, we did get more information on the opening price point Ford F-150 Lightning, the so-called commercial version that starts just under $40,000. Ford put out a press release this morning sharing some more details on this lowest price version. In a move that will be a little bit confusing to anyone that has shopped Apple's products, Ford has decided to name the cheapest version here the Ford F-150 Lightning Pro. Obviously makes sense being the commercial version, but did have to kind of chuckle at that. Anyway, as for the specs here, the base $40,000 vehicle, as we knew, is going to have a range of 230 miles. They say that the targeted payload capacity here is 2,000 pounds, and they're targeting up to 5,000 pounds of towing capability. Tesla didn't break down the payload capacity for each trim of the Cybertruck, but they do on the $40,000 single motor say that their towing capacity target is higher than 7,500 pounds. The cheapest version of the Lightning can get up to that range only if you add the max trailer tow package, which, as far as I know, they have not announced the price for. As for the extended 300-mile range pack, Ford will offer that on the Lightning Pro as well. They said that that's going to have a starting MSRP of $49,974. So pretty decent pricing, I think, but there are some differences here between the Lightning Pro and just the retail version. I still don't think we've got the full details on this, but they did share some photos, and you can see that the user interface is different, so you don't have the, not that I like it anyway, but you don't have the little knob display screen. Definitely a more traditional setup here with a lot of familiar buttons. That's the main difference I'm seeing. I'm sure there are others as well. One kind of cool thing here that Ford did share is their so-called Ford EV Telematics Dashboard, which is basically their EV fleet management software. So they had like a 3-minute video on this, kind of cool, sharing some details on it. It allows fleet managers to track in real time the location and charge status of their vehicles. And one thing that I found particularly nice about it is that it will track reimbursement needs for home charging for these commercial EVs. So we still don't have all the details here from Ford. We don't know, you know, the 0-60 on the base models, for example. And obviously production levels and margins are the critical pieces here. But I think Ford has probably done about as good as you could have expected going into this unveiling. And now we'll wait to see how the execution goes. All right, lastly here, just a couple of quick things on batteries. First, CATL, they have announced that they will be producing sodium ion batteries, so replacing the lithium there, sometime around July. Per the Benzinga report on this, they do say it is for EVs, though I'm not 100% sure on the accuracy of that. And as far as I know, we don't have any specs for these batteries yet. Again, per this Benzinga report, they do say that CATL said that prices would go up because of the new technology here. So they must be decent if they do expect to have a market for these even with a higher cost, though presumably one that could come down over time. So we'll be on the lookout for any more news there and if Tesla may be utilizing these, whether in EVs or for stationary storage. Switching over to LG, Indonesia's investment minister announced that LG will be going forward with plans to build a 10 gigawatt hour battery factory in Indonesia. This is a project we've talked about in the past, so I wanted to provide that update on it. We don't have a timeline yet, but initially it does sound like the battery capacity here will be used by Hyundai, so maybe not particularly relevant to Tesla, but we do know that Tesla has also had conversations and interest in investing in Indonesia as well because of the high nickel content there. So with LG's deal seemingly now finalized, maybe that helps as a domino to fall for Tesla to do something as well. We'll have to wait and see. But that'll wrap it up for today. So as always, thank you for listening. Make sure you're subscribed and signed up for notifications. You can also find me on Twitter at Tesla Podcast. And I'll see you tomorrow for the Tuesday, May 25th episode of Tesla Daily. Thank you.